Perek Bey's Mishnah Tes Vav. The Mishnah tells us that Hamam or Shlosh Devarim, that they, namely the students of Rav Yochanan and Zakkai, which we've been discussing in the previous Mishnayot, said three things. Now this Mishnah, Mishnah Tes Vav, quotes the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said following three things. Now, when we read this Mishnah, we're going to see that there really are four things, and which is going to lead to the discussion of how could it say Shlosh Devar. And therefore, obviously, the answer will have to be that two of them really go hand in hand, that they're as one. We're going to see there's a huge dispute among the various commentators exactly which two are one. Let's begin. Yikavod chavercha chaviv alecha kishalach. He says, number one of three, let your fellow's honor be as dear to you as your own. The second thing, v'al tehi noach lichos, a person should not get angry easily. And one of my posters that I had when I was a teacher are these four words, and inside a piece of dynamite, which is lit, as though to say, don't light your fire. V'shuv yom echad lifnei misascha. The third thing is repent one day before your death. And apparently, you have to figure out what day that will be. Number four of three, v'hevi mischamin keneged oren shel chachamim. Warm yourself by the fire of the sages. A person should be very careful of their glowing coal, lest you become burnt. Why? Because the bite of the chachamim is likened to the bite of a fox. And their sting is the sting of a scorpion. And their hiss is like the hiss of a serpent. And then the Mishnah concludes, that all of their words are just like a fiery coal. And what's unique about a coal is that you look at it, and a person doesn't know any better, thinks, doesn't see the fire. If you grab hold onto it with your bare hands, you'll burn it, because within inside of it is the fire. So too, the Chachamim, even though they look like, well, you and I, the reality is the Torah which is inside of them is just like that Gechale Ish. And therefore, you person needs to be careful not to get too close, lest you get burned. Let's begin by quoting the words of the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura focuses on the words of the Mishnah that says that there are shlosh devarim, three things. Now, certainly, Rabbi Eliezer, others, have said much more than three things. And in fact, if we look in the back of our packet, we find, based on our good old friends at Wikipedia, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is one of the more colorful sages throughout Talmudic literature. He's quoted numerous occasions, many, many times. So to say that he only said these three things is simply not true. And therefore, the Bar Tanura says as follows. When it says three things, it means he says three things, b'derech eretz, b'misarim, amidos, three things with regard to a person's character traits, and focus on those particular things. Certainly he said many things about psak halacha, whether you're allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it, it's okay, it's not so okay. So explains the Bar Tanura, when the Mishnah said that these are shlosh devarim, means there's three things specific with regard to ethics and morals. Inami, or another explanation, is brought down the Bar Tanura. Eilu ha-shlosh devarim having margula b'pumayhu talmid. He said many things, but when it came to these three things in particular, those were things that he was like a, if I may, like a broken record. He would continuously say them over and over again. In fact, we look, the Ravina Yonam over here says it a little bit stronger. When it comes to these three things in which he said, one of the students of Yochanan Zakkai, it says, Lo shlosh devarim bilvad amru. These certainly were not the only three things. Ki kama v'kama devarim amru. He said many things. El ratz alomer says to Rabbeinu Yonah what it means to say, She regilin kol echad loymer shlosh devarim bichol yom. This is something which he would say, not once in a while, not every week, every single day, bichol yom. Now, with that said, it means that these words are more than just words. This is something which governed his life, which he felt were extremely important. Maybe life lessons of himself. In fact, that's the case. We mentioned last time that, based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, there was a huge dispute between him and the Chachamim, the sages, with regard to an oven. Regardless, it's Tame, it's Tahar, it's pure, it's ritually impure. And he kept showing all these incredible, miraculous proofs to show that he was 100% correct. But he pushed the envelope a little bit too far, to the point that he was put in Cherem. He was excommunicated by the Nasi, who, after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's death, was Rabbi Gamliel, at least for a certain point. Rabbi Gamliel, who was actually his brother-in-law, he married Rabbi Gamliel's sister. Nonetheless, he was put to Cherem. He spent many of his last final years in excommunication. And with that said, we can then understand a little bit more the greatness of this figurehead, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was a person who was in Cherem. Now, a person who was in such a situation that miracles happened to him, proving beyond the shadow of doubt that he was halakhically correct, nonetheless putting in Cherem, I'd be angry. I'd be furious. I would probably show no respect to the Chachamim, and I would be very disrespectful and be very bitter and angry. That's perhaps the reason why Rabbi Eliezer, of all people, can make this statement of Yehi Kavod Chavercha Chavil Lecha Shalach. I have to be able to show more honor, because my flaw was on my own level, that I did not show the proper level of Kavod, respect, to the Chachamim. And therefore, that's the reason why I was put to Cherem. And therefore, I've learned this lesson that I should show, and you should as well, greater levels of covered respect to our Chachamim. And then he also says, V'altehi noach lichos. Don't get angry. Don't be such an angry person. Which means that he did not walk around with a chip on his shoulders. He was not bitter, even though he was excommunicated from his community. Which is, again, shows the greatness, the tremendous quality of the great Rabbi Eliezer. And furthermore, V'shuvi yamecha lifnei misascha, talks about tshuva, as though to say, even though a person would say, I didn't do anything wrong, it's them, they're wrong. The reality is, he realized the error of his ways, and he wished to do tshuva. And finally, of course, our Mishnah, which ends up, v'mischamim keneged orin shel chachamim. He was very close to the chachamim, because he was one himself, one of the greater of the chachamim. And nonetheless, he realized that if you get too close, just like a fire, you can get burned. And therefore, these are the messages that he wished to instill upon us, to Klal Yisrael, on a daily basis, b'chol yom, as Rabbeinu Yonah teaches us. Let's continue now with the words of the Bar Tanura with regard to the first of his statements, he covered chavercha chavalech shalach, that a person should show honor to his friend. So it says, v'imotai, and when, asked the Bar Tanura, when is it possible that a person will show respect to his friend? It's only in a situation where you're not easily angered. Because if you get angry easily, this is the unbelievable next words. It's impossible that you're not going to disgrace your friend. It's impossible. And therefore he says, Hari Dibur Echad. The reality is, he's not saying four things. The first two things is really one. The honoring of your friend and not getting angry are the same thing. That the only way you can be ensured that you will not cause a lack of respect to your friend is if you're not someone that easily gets angry. But if you're someone that gets angry, 100%, you've blown your top, you've lost your cool, you've lost control, and you probably showed a lack of respect to your friends. And then the Bar Tanura says, and that's really the three things. Then v'shuv yomecha lifnei misascha, the idea of repenting before your death, is the second thing. And then finally, the third part of the Mishnah, and third statement, is v'hamischamim keneged orin shel chachamim, to warm yourself by the fire of the chachamim, which we'll discuss in a greater detail later. And this is something which the Tiferes Yisrael talks about, which is a very important message. Very often, we get into fights, and they start off small, very petty little things, just little nuances, and then we just blow ourselves out of proportion. We end up losing control, we get extremely angry, and then after you're fighting and screaming and having an insult contest one to the next, even sometimes even your own spouse, God forbid, and a lack of shalom bias, you can stop for a second and ask yourself, when did this begin? What was the whole start of this whole thing? You might not even remember the beginning of the fight. It's because when it comes to kas, when it comes to anger, you completely lose control. You lose yourself as though you have absolutely no control over yourself, as we'll see in a moment in the Zohar, which is akin to death. And therefore, it's a very important message not to lose control. And in fact, as we brought down many times, the way it's brought down in the Haggadah among the Eser Makot is Tzfardeya. The second plague is frog. But we know there's a lot more than one frog. There's frogs all over the place, as the song goes. So the question is, why does it say Tzfardeya frog? So Chazal tell us that originally there was one frog, and the Mitzrayim kept hitting it and hitting it, and every time it would multiply and become larger and larger until there was millions of frogs jumping all over the place. So the obvious question is, why would you keep hitting this frog? You see a frog, you're upset that it's there, it gets into your house, it gets into your food and your bread and your kneading bowls and whatnot, so you get angry, so you start hitting it. But once you see it gets more and more, wouldn't you realize it's counterproductive to keep hitting it? It's going to get worse. The reality is that we're no better than the Mitzrayim, because sometimes, as we said, we are in the middle of an argument, we know that if we stop, we can cut our losses, and it won't be that bad. But instead we keep getting worse and worse, and spiraling out of control, insulting one another, even though we realize that there's no winner in such a match. And therefore, it ends up, it's a lose-lose, but nonetheless, just like the Mitzrayim, we lose control. So we have to be very careful not to be quickly angered, and in addition to that, when a person does that, you'll show better levels of respect, honor to your fellow man. Now, it's actually brought down a different novel interpretation based on the story of Rav Shmulka of Nikolsburg. The reading of the Mishnah, Kavod Chavercha Chavod Lecha Shalach, really could mean as follows. That you should envision the honor that you get from other people the same way that you give yourself honor. And there's a story that he was a very great person, and he was invited to be an honoree at a dinner, and he asked a very strange request of having a small little room on the side. And there he was by himself in a corner talking to himself. Someone was curious, walked up to him, and he heard him saying basically, "I'm a genius, you're brilliant, you're a great guy, you're terrific, you're an anav, you're humble, you're great." So someone stopped and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'll tell you what I'm doing. I know in a few minutes I'm going to be going to this banquet hall. People are going to be honoring me and speaking all these different things. I don't want to let it get to my head. I don't want to become a bald guy, a haughty individual. And therefore I wanted to say the exact same things to myself. And when I speak that way about myself, I realize how ridiculous it sounds. And therefore it's not going to get to my head. And therefore because of this, I'm hoping that the honor that those people give to me will sound just as silly and ridiculous as the honor that's given to myself. And therefore, as a way to remain as a humble person, I want to realize that I'm not such an incredible great guy. I'm just an average person. I'm a regular guy. I'm okay. You know, I'm not so brilliant. And therefore it's important to realize that about yourself, and therefore when you're not so exact, you're not so machbid about who you are as an individual, maybe then in turn you're not going to be so harsh in other people's dealings as well. We move on to a different interpretation, the interpretation brought down by the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this idea of anger, a person who gets angry easily. He says as follows, Yadua, who is a very important Rabbeinu Yonah, let's listen to these words. You know, kimidas akas, he raw ad ma'od. It's a terrible, terrible trait, being an angry person. Ah, nonetheless, teva b'nei adam li'os nimshach achara. It's the nature of human beings to be drawn after this, to get angry, to get upset. Al kein amru, and therefore because of this, said, after a person does get angry once in a while, to be careful, at least don't get angry quickly. Not telling you never get angry. It's a hard thing to tell you never get angry. But don't allow yourself to be easily angered. If let's say you're feeling that anger come with inside you, weigh it out. And ask yourself the following question, unbelievable words right here, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Imenei hadavar hahu, roi lichos. Is this something really worthwhile, roi lichos, for you to get angry about? Is it really worthwhile just completely going crazy and getting really frustrated and angry. So, and we know this is the case. You know, there's this idea of road rage. It just came out a couple days ago that Miami has reached number one as far as road rage. People are angry and furious, honking, screaming. You have to ask yourself, why on earth am I making such a big deal? Because I need to get from point A to point B 3 minutes faster? Because the person's going 60 miles an hour in a 55 zone, so I get angry because he's going way, way too slow? Relax. You know, take it easy. It might even be better for your nervous system not to build up your anxiety to be so nervous and so upset about such silly things. And I'll tell you a story about what happened to me in Maine. 7 years ago, I was fiddling with my radio or whatever I was doing, and I was at a red light. Wasn't paying any attention. There was cars behind me. And then a few seconds later, a minute went by, whatever it was, I looked up, and I saw the light went from yellow to red. Now, what does that mean, went from yellow to red? It means the light was red, it turned green, and it turned green and stayed green for a while, and then it turned yellow and then red. Now, the people behind me didn't pass me. They didn't even honk at me. Perhaps they looked at me and said, well, maybe he'll do better next time. Maybe he'll take the next green light. There was someone literally sitting behind me, allowing the light to turn green and then red again without getting upset. That is certainly the model. Very difficult. And I was wondering, maybe that's just an extreme example. So I was in Maine just a couple of days ago, as I go up always in the beginning of August, and there was huge traffic on the way from Bangor to Ellsworth. A one-lane road. It was a car since someone went off the road. And I was just sitting there, and there was cars and cars and cars. So that's when people get really angry. So I thought to myself, you know what? That was 7 years ago. Let's see if this is true today. So the cars in front of me were crawling up ever so slightly, and there was 10 feet in front of me, 20 feet in front of me, 30 feet in front of me. It was literally a whole line of cars behind me. Now, in New York, people would have honked, people would have started screaming, would have gone around, maybe not just in New York, the other cities as well, big cities, nothing. The person behind me, the person behind him, behind him, allowed me just to sit there and allowed the 10 feet to become 20 feet to become 30 feet, and then eventually I decided, you know, because it was a complete lack of courtesy, to continue on moving ever so slowly in front of the cars. But this is an important message. The message that I learned from Maine is the message that Arminio is telling us. Is it really worth getting upset? Is it really such a big deal? And if it's not such a big deal, then relax and don't let it get you upset. Don't be so quick to be angry. Continues with Vinayon of Imtim Sashuv Taina, Lohasir Kas Malivch. If you can find any possible reason, some excuse to stop, not to get upset, but Lehu, then nullify it. Grab hold and embrace that reason, that excuse not to get upset. Because it's so much healthier not to be upset. Ah, Al Damash Sheroy Lichos, Allah Al Kol Panim, when it comes to something in which it is befitting to get angry, something which is really, really bad. Really bad. Then, of course, the anger will be upon you. But don't let it get the best of you. This is what Shlomo HaMelech says in Ecclesiastes and Koheles. You know what Shlomo considers kas, he considers anger just like a person who is foolish, resting in their lap. It's constantly in their lap. What Shlomo is to say, don't get angry all the time. Only with extreme circumstances, once in a while, once in a blue moon, so to speak, should a person get angry, but not more than that. Don't act like a fool. Don't get angry just like a foolish person, because it's just like it's constantly within them, it's sitting on their lap. Wherever they go, it's always with them. They're constantly angry. You can't talk to them. It's like walking on eggshells. And I said, such a person, it's just ineffective. effective, especially when it comes to teaching. And as I've taught in a few schools, so I can talk about this, not mentioning anyone's name, there was this person who was literally screams at the kids every single day. So to a child, they look at it as like, oh, that's their normal tone of voice. And therefore, it doesn't mean anything. And during lunch, when he would scream for silence, they would just keep talking. They almost didn't even listen to him. They ignored him. Because him getting upset meant nothing, because he was always upset. A more effective way is to never get upset except for very, very few times. And those few times, then the students, the people around you realize, wow, this person means business. And then people will listen. But to do it all the time, you're a seal. You're a fool. Because just like in a stadium in which a person wants to get a better view, so they stand up, and all of a sudden everyone else stands up all around you, so you're getting the same lousy view because you can't see in front of you because the people are standing, which is the same way of your inability to see as though that everyone was sitting. So it doesn't make any difference. And therefore, don't get angry all the time because it just doesn't mean anything. And then the Rabbeinu Yonah quotes a very interesting Talmudic tongue twister from the Gemara in Erevin. The rabbis tell us, "Bishlosh devarim ha'adam nikar." Three ways a person's true characteristic, their true personality, can be perceived: bikoso, bikiso, bikaso. Bikoso is their cup. Bikiso is your wallet, your pocket. Bikaso is your anger. What does this mean? First of all, it's bikoso. You want to figure out if a person is someone who they really are, their true colors. Well, there's a concept of nichtasan yatasod. When you get that person a little bit drunk, a little intoxicated, you'll find out who they really are and what they really think of you. So bikoso is one. Bikiso is their pocket. To be able to see how they deal with others in business transactions, you can be a firm guy with the furry strimal and the bekisha, but when it comes to business dealings, maybe your true colors are going to come out. We're going to see how honest you are, bikiso, and then finally bikaso. When it comes to anger, when a person gets angry and you lose that same control, just like someone who's drunk in anger, you're not going to know and be able to control what you say and what you do. That's a time in which a person's true character is perceived. These are the three things that ha'adam nikar, that their personality and their character is really comes out. You get to see their true colors. The Likutei Sheish continues and discusses a little bit more about this idea of kas, of getting angry. He says as follows: "V'yeser bir afshir levayir ha'inyan al pi divrei sefer chinuch." He quotes the words of the sefer chinuch, "The lo takum," the idea of not being a vengeful, not bearing a grudge, not showing any form of revenge. Rather, v'yahata rechamocha, loving your neighbor, which is in the same pasuk. He says like this: the root of this mitzvah is shiyitin elibo, to put into your heart, ki kol asher yikra'u mitovan ra, whatever happens to you, whether it's good or bad, hutziba shetavu alam es Hashem yisbarach. Hashem is one who has the master plan. That's the reason why it happened to you, good or bad. Al kain, therefore, ki shiyitzaru o yachvihu, adam yada shiyadam nafsho, if something bad happens to you, something which you were slighted, realize that it's not the person. That person is just the vehicle, comparable to a dog that gets hit by the stick. It's not the stick that did the damage, but the person behind the stick. So too, when something bad happens to you, which you perceive to be bad, don't get angry at that person. And don't be wishing to bear a grudge or to take revenge against that person, because this was Hashem who caused this to happen to you. Don't put into your heart, into your thought process, to avenge them. It's not really him. Obviously, he was the vehicle, and he'll get punished for doing that as well, as we discussed before. But nonetheless, it was destined to happen to you. So too in our Mishnah. If someone does something which is a lack of respect to you, do not show lack of respect to him, and do not get easily angered. And this is, after all, the Ratzon Hashem, and that he is Einu Ela Shliach. He's only considered to be but an agent. He's only considered to be a Shliach. Now, that's one explanation. That because things happen for a reason, a person should not be so quick to get angry. Now, the Medrash Shmuel explains that there's no coincidence that it's Rabbi Eliezer who is the author of this Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, who is the one who said that the important trait that a person should have is having an ayin tov, literally a good eye, which means a person who's not jealous of others, not angry at other people's successes, just feeling and being feeling good at the success of them as though it was your own. And therefore, that's the idea of showing kavod, and certainly not getting angry. Because if you look at people with an ayin tov and realize that what happens to you is for a reason, that Hashem is the one behind the scenes, then you're not going to be quickly angry. And in addition to that, you're not going to get upset at that person. Rather, you're going to continuously show the respect and honor that that person so rightfully deserves. We're now going to continue and discuss the next part of the Mishnah of the idea of Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha, that a person doing teshuvah, repenting, one day before their death. Now, almost all the Mefarshim say the exact same thing, the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Bar Tanura, the Rambam. I'm going to begin with quoting the words of Rashi. Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha, Rashi says, Harei Shnayim. This is the second thing of three. Kolomer b'chol yom v'yom ase tshuva. Deshem l'machar atames. Of course, a person has no idea whether or not they're going to die tomorrow, today, in a week, in a month, in a year. No one knows. And therefore, because of this, what he's saying is, do tshuva now. Don't wait till the last minute because you may not have that opportunity that last minute. Take advantage of the ability to do teshuva at this moment, at this point, this stage of your life, and don't hesitate, don't wait. Now it's interesting, the Sfas Emes, unlike what we've interpreted before, that honor and not getting easily angered is one element. Some say not like that, but rather the second and third statement of Al Tinoach Lechos, not getting easily angered, v'shuv yom echad lifnei misascha, is really one thing. It is quoted in the name of the Kedushas Levi as such. And he says as follows, when a person gets angry, havikain misa, as though they've died inside. The time a person is angry, on a mystical level, halechas hanashama hakadosha min adam. A person's soul departs from them. The spirituality, the holiness of a person is gone. And as it's said in the Arizal, l'chein sarach ha'adam l'shuv b'tshuva, a person must repent, kodem shebo l'chlal kas, not before they die, but before they feel the sense of anger, d'ainu kodem hamisa, before this possibility of them dying inside. And the idea, not on a mystical level, is that when a person dies, obviously, they have no control over their life because they're dead. So, too, the idea of kas, a person who is in anger, it's as though they have lost themselves. They are completely out of control, just like a person who has died. And therefore, these two are the same. A person should not get easily angered. Rather, a person should do tshuva, should stop themselves before their death, before their potential anger, which is likened to death, and do tshuva and not allow themselves to get easily angered. So says the explanation of the Arizal. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara in Brachos tells us that there is actually a three-step process of what a person should do to make sure that they will always be on the right side at between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, that they will not allow the Yetzer Hara to get the best of them. And he quotes a pasuk to support this. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hamad Aleph says as follows: Amrav Levi Bar Chama, Amrav Shimon ben Lokish, Olam Yargiz Adam Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Hara. You constantly have to battle your Yetzer Hara. Don't allow them just to conquer you. It's a war. Shinema Rigzuv Al Techatov. Battle with him, and then you will not sin. Im nitzchel, if you're victorious, mutzav, great. V'im lav, yasi mutar. But if you're unsuccessful, just battling him based on your own will and your own willpower, then you should learn more Torah, as the pasuk says afterwards, im lav, b'levavchem. Im nitzchu mutter. If you're successful by learning Torah to defeat your Yetzer Hara, great. Meim lav yikra kriyas shema. If not, then say the Shema. Shnemar al mishkavcha. Something which you say on your bed, which is kriyas shema al mita, which also could be kriyas shema in general, which is said. Im nitzchu mutter. If not, great. Meim lav yisker lo yom hamisa. Remember your day of death. Shnemar v'doim osela. And you'll be silent. And therefore, this is the stop. This is the process that a person should do to make sure that they will get the best of their Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara will not get the best of them. Namely, first, a person should learn Torah. If they're unsuccessful, if that's not enough, they should learn Shema. They should read the Shema. And if all else fails, then they should remember Yom HaMisa, and they will be successful. Ask Tzolom LaForshim. It sounds like V'domosela, by remembering Yom HaMisa, that will be the opportunity of a lifetime, that a person will remember their finite existence, and therefore, in turn, they will do tshuva. So why is it necessary to go through all these other steps of learning Torah, saying the Shema? Just go straight to Yom HaMisa, and then you'll defeat your Yetzer Hara. And without getting graphic, I used to be very, very, very involved in various funeral homes. And one of the things that I noticed in funeral homes are the people that work there are not necessarily Yorei Shema and Yorei Chet. They're not necessarily the most God-fearing of people. Some, of course, are, but a lot of them are not. And you can ask yourself, well, that's strange. Shouldn't those people remember Yom HaMisa the most? After all, they spend their entire day looking at death square in the face. And the reality is that Chazal tell us that just remembering Yom HaMisa alone is not enough for a person to not do sin. In fact, if a person only focuses on Yom HaMisa, that may incite that individual to want to embrace all the physical desires that life has to offer. The here and now. Drink, eat, for tomorrow I shall die. And therefore, the only way that a person's Yom HaMisa will actually have an effect on them is only first if they had the Torah. Then they have the Shema, which is already ingrained with them, spirituality and the values of Torah and mitzvot. Then afterwards, by remembering Yom HaMisa, it will then have a roish and will have an effect upon them. Which reminds me of when I was in ninth grade in Providence. We had a course for public speaking. And one of the things that we had to do was we were given a topic that everyone had to speak about without having done any research or anything on it. You just had to speak basically off the cuff. And that question was, of the day, what would you do if you knew 100% that you were going to die tomorrow? So a lot of the former students said, you know, we'll go to the Beis Medrash, I'll learn, I'll do tshuva, I'll say the Shema. And the non-Jewish teacher was pretty blown away by this. But I remember one of my friends who said, you know what I'm going to do? I would take an 18-wheeler and I would go on the street and I would just destroy everything in sight. I would just basically destroy everything anywhere around me. And when I heard that, I realized, you know, that's the difference. You could remember and know Yom HaMisa, but that's not enough if that's all you have is Yom HaMisa. You have to already have the Torah and the mitzvahs within you, then Yom HaMisa is going to be valuable. And I believe that's the reason, even though I didn't see this anywhere, that's the reason why Eliezer puts this not up front. But he says, first of all, have kavod, be an honorable person. Don't be someone who gets angry, which means you're a person who has complete control over your characteristics, your midos. Then, v'shuv yom ha'achad, lifnei misascha. Then a person, when they remember their Yom HaMisa, then it will have more meaning, then it will have more value. Otherwise, it may very well be quite meaningless. Now, this idea is echoed throughout, again, as we said, the other opinions as well, the Rambam, the Bartanura. I'm going to share with you the words of the Rabbeinu Yonah. V'shuv yom echad lefnei misascha. He says, similar to the words of Rashi, Yoshev hayom, repent today, shem yom osomachah, because maybe tomorrow you'll die. But then he quotes a beautiful pasuk in Koheles. Lefi she'en yodea yom hamisa, you don't know what day you're going to die. Nimsu kol yama b'tshuva, every day you should do tshuva. V'zehu she'amar, this is what it says in Ecclesiastes, b'chol eis, every moment, every time, every second, you be'godecha levonim, may your clothes be white. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to put your clothes in the dry cleaner every day, but it means white spiritually clean, innocent, which means that you allowed your Yetzer Tov to control your life constantly, not to procrastinate and say, yeah, I'll do tshuva tomorrow. And there are many mishalim. I'd like to share with you two very quick ones about this idea of doing tshuva today and not procrastinating. It's a story of a melech, a king, who said, I'm going to prepare a huge feast, and everyone is invited, but I'm not going to tell you when it is. It's going to be a surprise. But of course, when that happens, you need to be dressed and look beautiful, be properly groomed and whatnot. So the smart people, they remained in their tuxedo every single day. And the person who was foolish said, what's the point? It takes so much time to prepare a banquet. I know it's not going to be done today. It won't be done tomorrow. Of course, as you can imagine, suddenly the trumpets blared and then the banquet was ready and prepared. So the people who were prepared day in, day out, they were welcomed with open arms into this banquet hall. Unfortunately, the people who were unkempt, the people who did not have haircuts, who were not dressed properly, they were in rags and dirty, disgusting, muddy clothes, were stopped at the door and said, I'm sorry, sir, you can't come in. So similarly, the nimshal is with regard to us, in regard to this pasuk, that your garments should be levanim. You should always be prepared with white garments because you do not know the day in which you will be ushered into the banquet hall. And make sure that when that day comes, that you will be clean, clean from sin. Similarly, it's brought down to Koheles Rabbah, a similar mashal of a woman who was constantly dressed. She would prepare herself in the most beautiful attire every single day. And this happened the day before that. So one of her neighbors came up and said, I don't understand, why are you doing this? Your husband's not even around. What are you trying to do? She said, I'll tell you. My husband's a sailor. And the way it works on sailboats is sometimes if it's windy, it can come fast. And if it's not a lot of wind, it'll take a whole long time. If a very, very powerful wind comes, he will be here today. And I want him to be able to see me in my most beautiful way. If I don't know this, it's possible he'll come today and I won't be ready to be able to greet him and to show how much I love and care about him. So too, for us to show that we love and care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mitzvos, we need to be ready, and we must adorn ourselves in Torah and mitzvos today, because we do not know when that day will come, when we will be taken because of the strong wind. This is a very important message. We find this throughout the Torah. In fact, with Parshas Noach, the Mabul, we see a tremendous difference between the pre-flood and after the flood. Before the flood, people lived very, very long lives. And the reason for this is because Hashem said, let me give them a long life so they'll be able to reach a tremendous potential. Give them a long span of life to be able to grow. Unfortunately, those people looked at life and said, you know, I'm only 500 years old. I'll do tshuva when I'm 600, when I'm 700, when I'm 800. Those people ended up not doing tshuva. They became Rishayim. The world became corrupt. The world had to be destroyed. Therefore, Hashem said, you know what? I'm going to give man 70 years. I'm going to give them a finite, very small window so that they'll realize that if they want to accomplish anything in their life, they cannot wait till tomorrow. They must do it this very second. They cannot delay. And therefore, a person must do tshuva. But the power of tshuva is that no matter who you are, you have the ability to wipe off the slate. No matter what you've done in the past, you become a tzaddik tomorrow. And in fact, the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that when it comes to a marriage, you just have to say, Harim Kodesh, Sleep with the Pazzu, Kodesh, Moshe, Vistro, and you're married. But sometimes a person wishes, for whatever reason, to tack on a condition. Almanas this, on condition I'm a millionaire, on condition that I'm a pauper. So for some reason, there's the following condition. A person walks up to a girl and says, you know, marry me on condition that I'm a tzaddik gomer, I'm the most righteous person in the world, I'm a perfect tzaddik. The Gemara says that this individual that said it was a Rasha, a wicked person. The Gemara tells us that it's possible that that actually is a valid Kiddushin. What do you mean? How could you say it's a possible Kiddushin? It's only on condition that I'm a tzaddik and he was a Rasha. The Gemara says an unbelievable. It says perhaps, maybe there's a hear her tshuva b'dayt. Maybe this person had the slightest thought of repentance for a split second. And therefore, once he did tshuva at that moment, he now possibly is no longer a Rasha. Maybe he became a tzaddik. And that's the unbelievable flip of a switch, a 180-degree opportunity of doing tshuva, of change, an opportunity that we should not squander, that we should take this opportunity. No matter who you are, you have the opportunity to do tshuva and you can become a better person. We should never feel that we've dropped to the lowest level. It's brought down in Perchelik and Masechta Sanhedrin that the first Beis HaMikdash, which was accredited to have been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't actually even there, the king of Babel. He actually gave Nebuzradon, who was the chief executioner, the rights to kill and destroy and to burn the first Beis HaMikdash. He was successful. And he destroyed and killed tens of thousands of Jews. Thousands upon thousands of them. And then, for some reason, as the Gemara discusses, he realized how the loss of a human life, how important it is, and how valuable the human life is in God's eyes. And therefore, he realized, you know, look at me. I've killed so many people in my life. Can you imagine what's going to happen to me? And it says, Nebuzradon, the one who actually lit the fire to destroy and burn the first Beis HaMikdash, he was Miskayer. He converted and became a Ger Tzedek, a true righteous convert. So us, we're not anywhere near that level of destroying and murdering and destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Nonetheless, we certainly, Kal v'chomer alachas kama kama, have the opportunity and have the ability to do tshuva, to repent, and to use that opportunity and not squander it, for we have that ability to change, and to change today. The last part of our Mishnah discusses that we should come close to the fire, the light of the Chacham, but we should be careful not to get too close, lest we get burned. And it's brought down in the Rambam. He brings down the story of Gehazi. Gehazi was a person who was upset opposite his master, Elisha. Elisha did not accept a gift from Naaman, who Naaman had leprosy, he had saras, and as Elisha instructed that he should immerse himself in the rivers, and that would cause the saras to remove, that he'll be gone. And at first he didn't believe, and then he ended up doing it. And Naaman was so incredibly impressed, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he became a Ger Toshav. He ended up doing tshuva. He stopped being an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He stopped worshiping idols. And he offered Elisha beautiful gifts. Elisha did not accept those gifts for various reasons, but Gehazi was very upset that why didn't Elisha accept those gifts? And because of this, it's brought down the Arba Anashim Hayu Mitzorayim, the famous Haftorah of the four lepers, that it's brought down that Gehazi ended up getting this level of tsaras that was completely incurable. He was unable to get rid of it. And the message of this is that even though he was very close, Gehazi was to Elisha, maybe he was a little bit too close. And he had no right to look at what Elisha said and did and critique him, because after all, he is a chacham, and he knows best. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Mushal, this parable, l'mischamin keneged or, of a person who comes too close to a fire. Says, im amad barachok kiroilo, if you're too far away, then it's not going to be effective. But if you're somewhat close, but a little bit far, nimso, what do we find? Nehenna the enu nichva, you're by a campfire. You're going to enjoy the warmth of the fire, but not going to get too close to get burned. Mimkarvios medai, if you get too close to it, you really want to get warmed up, but you get too close. Nimsa nichva, you're going to get in a burn. You have third degree burns over yourself. Kainam eschamim keneged orin shel chachamim. So too, explains the Rabbeinu Yonah, person with regards to the fire of the chachamim. Deriving benefit and hana from their wisdom. When you speak and learn and listen to the chachamim, you must always have fear, awe, trepidation, and a kovid rosh, a seriousness about you. Don't get lightheaded, don't act foolish around them, don't show disrespect toward them. And do not get closer to them than you need to, because otherwise you're going to be playing with fire. And as we know, the expression, not to play with fire. Now Rashi explains the idea of the scorpion, the fox. He says the scorpion, the akrav, metil erez min oketz, the v'nachash sorav sharik b'fiv. The scorpion shoots out its venom when it stings, and the snake, when it hisses and bites also. It's similar to the chacham, because the chacham really doesn't wish that you should get hurt, doesn't want you to get injured. It doesn't really benefit from the fact that you're going to be injured. So to a nachash, when it bites a person, it bites by the ankle and he falls down, it really doesn't derive any benefit from you, but nonetheless, you'll fall. And therefore, you should be very careful when you speak to a chacham, when you treat and deal with a chacham, that it should be done with the utmost level of kavod, with respect. Now, it's brought down in the Bar Tanura, the idea of the fox. What do you mean the bite of a fox? Maybe the bite of a shark? Well, why a fox? He says the idea of a fox, and I don't know this firsthand, but I'm sure it's true, refuwaso kasha, getting healed by a fox bite is not so good. Lefin sheshinav dakos akumos v'akushos, because their teeth are jaggedy and they're very slanted and they're thin and small. It's therefore, v'sarcha refuwa lachtocha basar mi'azmol. Without getting too graphic, the doctor will need to use various metal instruments to be able to cure you of this extremely painful fox bite. Now, the Meiri further explains the idea that since the teeth are so small and thin, when it sinks its teeth inside of your flesh, you're not going to feel it right away. But after it removes its teeth, you'll feel an unbearable pain. So too when it comes to the Chacham, that even though initially when you do something to him, you're not going to realize anything, nothing dramatic is going to happen to you right away, but rest assured, in the long run, it will. Now, it's brought down in Lakut Deshesh the significance of why it mentions three different things. It talks about the idea of the fox, talks about the scorpion, and it talks about the fox, the scorpion, and as well as the snake. Now, the Lakut Deshesh brings down Bi'ava HaTanugim. He says that it's coming to tell us three different elements of the Chacham. One of them is the Midrashim, the Drushos that they give. You may not like one of them, but it really doesn't affect halacha, because they're not telling you to do this, not to do that. A second element of our Mishnah that the Chachamim teach us and talk to you about is dini mamonos, monetary cases that they tell you, you owe $1,000, you owe $1,000,000. And finally, the Chachamim talk about dini iser v'heter, what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. So he says, opposite the first part of the Mishnah, of the bite of the fox, what is a bite of a fox? That's something which will not kill you. It's certainly not the most pleasant thing. It's going to be very painful. However, when it comes to disagreeing with a pshat of a medrash, a drasha of the Chachamim, something which is not really going to affect halacha or affect the outcome in any way, you will get an onesh, you'll get punished. There will be an unbearable tsar, but it's not going to be something which will kill you. The other element of the bite and the sting of the scorpion, that's something which could kill you, because that's referring to a situation where you are going up against the Chacham. But at least when it comes to a scorpion, there is a refuah. There is some type of ailment. There is some type of remedy. There's some type of anecdote that a person can take to cure them of this illness. He says that's the same thing when it comes to mamonos. Because when a person steals, for example, there is a remedy for you to undo the mistake of stealing. For example, heishiv es gzeil asher gazal. You have to return that which you stole. And therefore, similar to the scorpion, there is a refuah. But if you don't return, or you do not listen to exactly what the Chachamim tell you to do, that you should return the stolen object, ultimately it's something which will kill you. The Keneged Chaluka, the last element, is something in which can never be fixed. And that's comparable to the hiss and the bite of a snake. That there is no refuah, there is no heal. Certain snakes, which are comparable to the glowing coal, that shekol over al divrei chachamim, kil over al divrei Torah. Anyone who completely violates the words of the Chachamim, it's just like they violated the words of the Torah itself, because the Torah is comparable to Esh. The words of the Chachamim, as it says, Halo kol divrei Esh no Hashem. And therefore, a person has no right to violate and to go against the words of the Chachamim. And therefore, explains this parish, Lekutei Esh, that each of these three elements talks about the three different ways in which the Chachamim give us advice. It's brought down by the Chavetz Chaim, a beautiful mashal. He compares a pot and a fire. That the difference between a pot and a fire is as follows. A fire remains, well, hot, because it's fire. Also, a fire has the ability to ignite something else. When it comes to a pot, the only time it remains hot is if it's directly on top of the flame. But if you remove it from the flame, it gets cooler and cooler. In addition, a pot does not have the ability to ignite other things. And this is the message of chinuch, as opposed to homeschooling. Homeschooling, I can do it my own. I have a very strong infrastructure in my home. My wife, myself, we're involved in Torah. And therefore, that's good enough for my children. He says that's just like a pot. A pot is only effective when it's on the fire. When it's connected to Torah, when it's connected to the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim, as this Mishnah says, is the or, is the fire. That if you connect yourself to the fire, then you can remain on fire yourself. The Chachamim have the ability to ignite and to excite and to increase one's enthusiasm and love and desire for Torah and mitzvot. However, you doing it alone, without the Chachamim, you're just like that pot. And you're going to cool off ever so slightly. And become room temperature and affect your children as well. We know that this is statistically true, that the more time a child stays in a day school and a yeshiva environment, the more likely that child will marry a Jew in their own faith. Intermarriage, unfortunately, you send your child to a public school, to a university where there's actually no religious affiliations, no Hillel, nothing. So what do you expect if they intermarry? It's comparable to playing Russian roulette with five bullets. And therefore, says the Chavetz Chaim, connect yourself to the fire and do not think that the pot is enough. It's brought down by Reb Tzvi Elimelech Zatzal that the first encounter Hashem has with Moshe by the sneh, by the burning bush, Hashem says to Moshe, Shal na'alecha mi'al raglecha, remove na'alecha, your shoes, your sandals from your feet. Now what is the significance of this? Now, it's brought down that when it comes to the shoes, the significance of the shoes is that you disconnect yourself to the ground below you. Now, when I was a kid, I used to spend many years, many summers, on Ocean Beach in New London, Connecticut. And I often didn't wear flip-flops, and I was barefoot. And I would have to walk through this boiling hot parking lot. I remember having to run from one car to the next to get some shade, because it gets really hot. But the idea behind it is that when you're not wearing shoes, you're more sensitive to the ground below you. Everything, every pebble, every rock that you step on, certainly not to walk on glass. If you're wearing shoes, you can walk on anything. And explains to Tzvi Elimelech that what Hashem was telling Moshe is, listen, you are going to be the leader. And therefore, you must, just like taking off your shoes, be sensitive to the people and the environment around you. Don't be harsh, don't be mean, don't be cruel, even though you're a chacham. And therefore, you may have a hiss, you may have a bite, you may have a sting. Please remove that from you. And he beautifully says this as follows. What are the three things that a person who is a chacham may cause someone else? A neshicha, a bite. A kitz, a sting. L'chisha, a hiss. If we look at the three words, neshicha starts with the letter nun. A kitz, the letter ayin, sting. L'chisha, which is the hiss, is the lamed. Nishicha, akitza, l'chisha, nal. Hashem says to Noah, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, shal nalecha, remove your neshicha, remove your bite, remove your sting, remove your hiss, mi'al raglecha, from yourself. Be more sensitive, be more caring, and do not be machbid, do not get extremely angry over every small little thing in your life. In conclusion, in this week's parsha, we find the pasuk, V'ata Yisrael, Ma'ashem Elkech Shalom Yimach. What does Hashem really ask of you except to have your Shemayim? And on this, Rashi says that Kol b'Shemayim Chutz Mi Yiras Shemayim. This is the one thing which is in our hands, becoming a tzaddik, become a rasha. Now, it's interesting, the very first word in this very famous pasuk. The pasuk doesn't tell us to do tshuva sometimes, do tshuva in a week, to do tshuva in a year from now, but rather, v'ata Yisrael, do tshuva now, do tshuva today. As Rabbi Elazar clearly says, v'shuv yom echad, lifnei misascha.